Hello to all of you out there in Fa-la-la land. Now is the time to listen to the latest, greatest, and best environmental radio programming across this province. That's right, it's Tuesday and 5 p.m. again, and Terra Informa is on 88.5 FM CJSR. We turn to our beautiful beast of a workhorse, Alex Hindle, who will bring to your ears some sweet, sweet words on 24-hour bus service.
Edmonton's a big, cold city. Maybe that's one reason that we were recently identified by Statistics Canada as the most car-dependent city in the country. But I don't think it's an insurmountable problem. I'm of the opinion that if you build it, they will come. And in this context, it could be a lot of things. From better bike infrastructure, to more compact and livable neighborhoods, to superior transit. And transit is perhaps the most important piece of the alternative, sustainable transportation mosaic. For though walking, cycling, and so forth are maybe more spiritually and physically rewarding than sitting on a bus, they aren't always feasible for the very young, or the elderly, or the disabled, or those poor souls who have to get to work in minus 30 degree weather at 6 a.m. Transit represents a very egalitarian form of mobility, where, in an ideal world, all citizens could get about freely and cheaply to wherever they please. Private cars, of course, are the antithesis. They're competitive, isolating, costly, and much more wasteful. As Edmonton gets bigger and richer, a lot of people are talking about what our city should become, and transit receives its fair share of dreaming. Recently, there has been much mention of expanding transit service around the clock in our city. One vocal supporter of the extension has been the Transit Riders Union of Edmonton, or TRU. TRU describes itself as a group of concerned transit users currently researching and developing strategies to improve transit in Edmonton. Their stated goal is to channel transit riders' needs and opinions into a unified voice for an efficient, affordable, and accessible public transit system. I spoke to Brian Gould of the Transit Riders Union to hear why TRU thinks Edmonton needs 24-hour transit. I'm at the CJSR studios with Brian Gould, who is the public relations officer with the fairly recently formed group, the Transit Riders Union of Edmonton. Hello, Brian.
Hi, how's it going?
Pretty good. Could you just tell us a little bit about TRU, where it came from and what it is?
Well, TRU was formed in April of 2007. A bunch of transit riders came together, decided service wasn't working for them, and laid down a six-point platform. We've been building since then. I joined on a couple months later. Launched a couple campaigns that have been getting us press attention. Our transit challenge to city council in November that had four councillors riding the bus. And right now we're pushing for late night transit, 24 hours.
So you've covered on a few of them there, I think, but what, just briefly, are the 6 points that you're hoping for?
Transit-friendly city, improve the built environment, fight sprawl, cost, ensuring transit is affordable and cost-effective, efficiency, user-friendly routes and scheduling in 24 hours, environment, reducing emissions and car dependency, safety, making sure transit police are in touch with the needs of riders and that we have enough transit police at all, ridership, encouraging more usage and effective promotions.
So those are some very lofty and, I think, admirable goals. How are you guys doing so far? How is the organization? Do you have a lot, have you received a lot of support from the community?
Depends how you measure support, I suppose. We have 170 registered members, very committed core. Recently, we teamed up with another person who started up a Facebook group for this 24-hour proposal, and that is sitting at, I think, 3,200 members right now, which is pretty impressive, and we're trying to bring a bunch of those members into the fold, since ETS isn't just about late-night transit. There's places we can improve throughout the system.
So. Mm-hmm. And I would like to talk about those in a little bit, but I am very curious about this idea of 24-hour transit, which has received quite a bit of attention in the media over the last week or two. Can you just tell me briefly, what do you mean when you say 24-hour transit, and why is this an important issue?
Well, right now we're running roughly from 5:30 in the morning to 1:30 in the morning the next day, if you're being generous, because most of the buses have shut down, and even the buses that are only running in one direction. And so what that does is it forces shift workers to either try to afford a cab, and most people are struggling with that. It forces bar patrons to make the decision between waiting for a cab or driving drunk. But that's the late night aspect. The other thing is for the 24 is catching people coming onto shift in the morning, whether it's, you know, bakers or health professionals and stuff like that. I've personally experienced both ends. I've gotten off work at 1:30 in the morning, and I've gotten on shift at 5 in the morning. And for both times, transit just simply isn't running. So, yeah. I mean, if you can bake rides, great, but...
Yeah, and I mean, I'm a late night person myself. There's been many times when I've realized that I've missed the last bus and had to walk or bike or call a cab to get home. But, you know, I think I'm kind of the exception. And I think one of the big criticisms that you'd face with this idea is that, like, although it'd be nice to have 24-hour transit, you know, the money may be better spent improving service throughout the day. Do you think that's a valid criticism? Or?
It's certainly not going to have great fare recovery. What has to be looked at, though, is what is the cost to the people who are forced to make other choices, as well as what is the cost of the system of not providing the transit, because people aren't going to be taking a trip earlier on in the day so they can take a trip back. They're less likely to become transit dependent. It's more of a social service than some other aspects of the system, and I think it needs to be looked at that way.
Do a lot of other cities in Canada have 24-hour transit?
Toronto and Montreal run 24/7. Vancouver and Ottawa run until about 3:30. But even if you keep going down the list, Calgary, Quebec City, Winnipeg, Hamilton all run later than Edmonton.
I know the mayor Mandel has spoken out on his opinion. He doesn't seem to like the idea, or at least he says that he doesn't support it right now. Have you received more support from any other city councillors? Like, is this something that you think could feasibly happen in the near future?
It's been building support, I believe, and it depends, because a lot of the councillors haven't particularly spoken out one way or the other. I've spoken with Councillor Ben Henderson, who was one of the councillors to take our challenge, and he's definitely in favor, because he found himself stuck on White Avenue during the challenge and had to walk all the way home. So he understands what it's like. I believe Libovici and Iveson are also in support, and then it depends. The transportation manager as well said that, well, it's probably not coming right away. He described it as inevitable. It's something that we're going to need to look at. So.
Okay, so could you maybe describe, like, in your opinion, what 24-hour transit would look like in terms of, you know, route coverage and so forth? Like, what could people expect if they wanted to take the bus, you know, in the future under 24-hour transit if it happens at, say, 3 or 4 in the morning?
Well, the proposals that are in front of City Council give an idea of what that would look like. The more expensive version would have the majority of the late-night routes running either on a one-hour or a half-hour frequency throughout the night, and I believe there's a second report for a few million dollars less, which would operate similar to Christmas Day, which is, for anyone who's familiar with the system, they tend to shut down over Christmas break, so it's not quite as good. It'd be nice to see some route alignment going on, so that we had more of a grid system, and then at least if it didn't get you right in front of your home, it would just be a reasonable walk rather than nothing at all.
Yeah, so I'm curious, who or where did the impetus come from for these reports?
I believe there was a push from the hospitality industry, which is what originally triggered the 3:30 a.m. Report. Someone then asked the question, well, why don't we look at 24-hour while we're doing it, since that just leaves a two-hour window. I mean, why not cover it all? Mm-hmm. And then as it's grown, we've heard support from students, both of the U of A and Nate also presented to council, and We've jumped on board to support this from the perspective of the shift workers mainly, which is one of the angles that isn't being covered as much.
So could you maybe tell us a little bit about the other things that the Transit Riders Union is working towards?
There's a number of projects that we're mulling over. We're still trying to decide which is our priority at this point. The late night report got bumped to coincide with an overall picture of ETS's performance. So we'll probably speed up some of our other projects to correspond with that. One of the things we were looking at is a collaborative route redesign project, bringing transit riders in, saying, what would you like the system look like? Mm-hmm. Where do you want the lines to go? How often? What do you need? And then presenting that to council. So that's one project. As well, we just had a member present his vision for LRT in the year 2040, advocating for an aggressive expansion up to like 5 lines, integrating with the Transportation Master Plan and the City Plan. So making sure we have a picture of the individual routes, but also how it would function. Because right now we're kind of looking at it as a piecemeal process. It'd be nice to have an overall picture. other things we're working on. It's a documentary project, kind of taking a look at the life, or a day in the life of a transit rider in Edmonton, following that. So there's a number of projects that we're looking at, and we're trying to flesh them out and see.
I think it's great that you're getting people thinking about public transit. Obviously, it's very important to you. Could you sort of briefly say why is public transit important in a city like Edmonton, where so many people seem to, you know, love driving?
Well, that's part of it right there. People are driving; they're not willing to take transit because it's not meeting their needs, and part of that's a lack of service on transit's side, but also it's just the way the city's built. And we need to start looking at building cities more environmentally friendly, more sustainably, and transit serves a role within that, as well as just providing a cheaper alternative for those people who need it. So there's numerous interrelated goals here.
Mm-hmm. So if people want to find out more about TRU or get involved, how can they do that?
Our website's probably the best way, tru@apirg.org.
Okie dokie. Well, thank you very much for your time, and I wish you and the organization the very best in the new year.
That was Brian Gould, Public Relations Officer for the Transit Riders Union of Edmonton. You can find out more about TRU by visiting their online domain at www.tru.apirg.org. Unless you think that TRU is alone in their support of round-the-clock transit, I'd like to point out that a Facebook group named Expand Edmonton's Transit Service to 24 Hours currently has 3,497 members, which is quite a bit for a local issues Facebook group. That said, there definitely is an argument to be made against 24-hour transit. After all, the city does have limited resources to fulfill a near-infinite set of demands, and something ultimately does have to give. I spoke to the political science professor James Lightbody in an effort to balance the picture on 24-hour transit. Dr. James Lightbody is a professor of political science at the University of Alberta, and he has studied for many years municipal politics. I'd like to ask you, Dr. Lightbody, since you've commented in the public sphere, your opinions on 24-hour transit.
Well, in an ideal world, 24-hour transit everywhere in the city would be, well, in a word, ideal. But we have to operate with certain realities that Edmonton is a reasonably small city, around 700,000 population, and the transit that is provided, the core transit provided by the city, is appropriate and has met the need of people who worked normal shifts and who have to get to places and home from places before and after store and mall and theater closings. 24-hour bus service, as proposed about a month ago, was proposed by a small group of business owners, barkeeps in the Strathcona area, who wished to have the city of Edmonton, through the transit system, give them another subsidy.
Yes, my understanding was that some representatives from Old Strathcona were the sort of the impetus for the studying 24-hour transit. One of their allies that had kind of stepped forward is this Transit Riders Union of Edmonton, and I spoke to a representative from that organization recently, and I said to him, wouldn't it be better to spend money on 24-hour transit during the day to benefit other people? And his response was, well, don't look at it that way, it's a quality of life issue. It's about, you know, making the city accessible to all sorts of people. Now, is that a misleading argument? Well, who would benefit from 24-hour transit?
Well, first of all, just because someone says he or she is the spokes thingy for a union of transit riders doesn't mean anything more than that person has said this. You have to be very careful about organizations to claiming to represent people who they do not. The city of Edmonton transit for a city this size is fairly advanced, and we do provide the DATS service. A couple of the suburbs do, but it's primarily the city of Edmonton which does. It sustains an LRT system which, and I may be wrong on this, but I don't think so. We're one of the smallest cities in the world to have a rapid transit system and going into this major expansionary mode. We do not have 24-hour service because, quite frankly, it's not cost effective for the handful of persons who work in very specialized locales. These are not hospitals. These are not long-term care facilities. These are not disabled people. These are people who are working in an industry, so-called, a bunch of barkeeps who are already subsidized by the city of Edmonton. Rules are relaxed. Enforcement is not strict. Toilets are provided, and so on and so on. And then we also clean up the mess when all of the patrons are on special occasions turfed out onto the street and we have to bring in the police.
Mm-hmm.
So it is at this point in time a frivolous call for a good service, but not one that the city's ready for.
Do the merchants of Old Strathcona in particular, do they pull a lot of weight when it comes to getting things approved or not approved on city council?
Well, there are two groups of merchants. There are those who actually run stores and are merchants, and then there are the saloons.
Mm-hmm.
And the happy face of the Old Strathcona Business Association are the merchants, and they are the ones who struggle with the street cleaning in the morning and that kind of stuff. But there's a different face to Old Strathcona at night. Not all of the traffic is generated from within the boundaries of the city of Edmonton. Folks from the burbs do motor in and take advantage of our hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
I do not see what good 24-hour bus service would do for them because they'd be dropped off on the city boundaries.
So just to clarify your own thoughts, you seem to think that transit in Edmonton is reasonably good. If the city was to spend more money, and the estimates for 24-hour transit have been anywhere between about $7 and $15 million, I understand it. If the provincial or the federal government kind of said to Edmonton, look, here's an extra $15 million, use it on transit how you see fit, would you say, okay, then let's put it in 24-hour transit, or are there other areas that are priorities in your opinion?
I think that 24-hour transit service would be very low on the list. And in fact, in other areas, for instance, in the lower mainland of BC, there was a call for extended bus service into the city of White Rock. And the consultants did the usual consultant thing, and they investigated. And in fact, it would have been less costly to provide each citizen who wanted transit service with cab fare. $15 million buys a lot of cabs. Rides home to the airport. I think there are other priorities in terms of frequency of service, more direct lines for those perhaps in Millwoods or Clairview or Castle Downs who need access either horizontally around the city or into the downtown core, better connect times, and so on. I, at this stage, we are not, believe it or not, London, Paris, or Rome.
Yeah, and it seems, I think a lot of people do think that Edmonton's changing dramatically. And I'll just ask you one final question. Is Edmonton changing dramatically, or is it simply expanding in the way that it's always expanded? Is it changing, is the inherent nature of the city changing? Is it becoming more metropolitan?
Edmonton is becoming larger, as are all other cities. We are growing pretty much as we've always grown. There are significant exceptions, and we've had these in the news, where there are higher density, multi-story buildings going up here and there. There is, of course, Century Place down at the south end of the city. But the line, of course, is that these are exceptions to the general rule. We're spreading at the waist. We're getting obese as a city, and we're moving out to these autonomous suburbs around the city, Devon, Leduc, Redwater, Morinville, Camrose, if you wish, quite apart from St. Albert, Strathcona, and Leduc. And most of these areas have not any kind of transit into the city. St. Albert and the county of Strathcona being very major exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So if the city is changing, yes, we're becoming more cosmopolitan, yes, but the kinds of people who are reliant upon public transit have to live in the city of Edmonton, and they do. We have the data on this, and they are provided with reasonably good bus service for a city this size. And again, it's not a million, it's 700,000.
That was Dr. James Lightbody, Professor of Political Science at the University of Alberta. And it seems for the time being, at least, Edmonton won't be seeing buses chuggling down its dark streets at 3 or 4 in the morning. The proposal is being considered, but no decision is expected to be made until a complete review of the transit system is made in June of this year. Council approves the idea, we could potentially be seeing 24-hour transit by 2009 at the earliest. To me, it seems that 24-hour transit would be welcome, but so would many other improvements. We need more bike paths and library books and water fountains, and the police would probably like new guns if given the choice. I'm sure we could use a little more affordable housing. But I think it's a huge mistake, though, to look at such improvements in a piecemeal manner, considering each on its own within the context of an overextended please-everyone city budget. Just because we live in a fiercely car-dependent city today does not mean we shouldn't be planning big changes for tomorrow. We need to start dreaming the big dreams. I'm Alex Sindel for Terra Informa.
Great work, Alex. That was excellent. That's all this week for us, Terra Informants. I'm Peter and have been your host today. Be sure to listen next week when Terra Informa airs again. Stay tuned because Counter Spin's up next.